Well, I want to start off again today with it's what's been kind of our foundation verse now for several weeks. I just can't seem to get away from it. And I don't want to get away from it until the Holy Spirit is ready for me to move on. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Now notice that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, for sure, we're wearing earthen vessels. These bodies we have are made of the minerals and dust of the earth and water. A clay pot would be a good illustration. We know it. They can be broken. They can be killed. All kinds of things. They're fragile, in other words. And really, Paul is talking about, when he says this treasure, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the message that he was commissioned to deliver not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And in this chapter, he's talking about many of the frustrations and the problems that he ran up against trying to deliver the gospel in his generation. But see, the mystery of the gospel, Paul said in another place, is Christ in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. And the way the Holy Spirit has been connecting this up with Mark chapter 4, we do have this treasure. We have this message. We have this gospel, this treasure in earthen vessels. But it's more than just a message. It is Christ. Listen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot separate God from His Word. And the message is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. You cannot separate God from His Word. So we not only have the message, of course we have the message, and we carry it about in these earthen vessels. But we have Christ Himself. We have Christ, the living Christ, on the inside of us. That's why Jesus said, those that believe on Him, the works that He did, we will do also the same works. And Jesus was very careful to point out, even in His earthen vessel. Now remember, He had an earthen vessel from Adam. His body was no different than the body you're wearing. It's subject to temptation, subject to be. Plainly says He was made a little lower than the angels for the purpose of suffering death. His body was mortal and subject to temptation. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So He Himself was the man. I'm talking about the man Jesus. Now, I know He's the God-man. You don't need to write me any letters. I know that. But it plainly says in the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, that He laid down that divinity. Everything you see Jesus doing, He's not doing as God. If He's doing it as God, then we're all disqualified. He laid it down. Everything you see Jesus doing, He's doing as a man, born of God, wearing an earthen vessel, but anointed by the Holy Ghost. Praise God forever. That's why we can look unto Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Well, the Lord, He just wants me to get away from this because He's after fruit. Today we're going to look at more closely at two verses that don't seem connected at first, but they are. They're very much connected. And I brought my Bible here. I hope you have a Bible or a device that you can look this up. Now, today let's look at fruit. John 15, and look at verse 8. "Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be My disciples." What's the purpose of being a disciple? It's to bear much fruit. Now, the Bible talks about two kinds of fruit. There's the fruit of Galatians 5, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And this is really as the character and the nature of Christ comes to maturity in us. That is fruit. It's called love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. All of the attributes of Christ come forth in us as we mature. That's one kind of fruit, and we're supposed to bear that fruit. But the fruit that he's having me teach on in this series is a different kind of fruit. See, when Jesus talked, the other verse. Let me give you the other verse. He connected these two verses up for me recently, and it's going to be important later in this lesson. So there's John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Okay, so fruit. We're after fruit. Got it? That's how we're his disciples. Fruit. All right? The second kind of fruit is deliverance and healing and salvation fruit. We're going to see that in a moment. But before I go on, let me show you the verse he connected up. It's all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. And let me find it here again. Yes, Genesis chapter 1, right in creation at verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. Now notice, and the fruit tree yielding fruit. Now notice, after its kind, whose seed is in itself. Hang on to that thought. The seed of the fruit is within itself upon the earth, and it was so. Think of something as simple as an orange. If you ever drive down to Immokalee, Florida to visit my good friend Bronk Flint and his wonderful church and all the people down there. Well, Immokalee is not on the coast. It's not one of the wealthy cities like Naples or Fort Myers. It's where the pickers live and the harvesters come. And to get to that church, you've got to drive through about 30 miles of orange groves. You think about an orange today. You get an orange, and there's seeds on the inside of that orange. That orange you're holding came from a tree. That tree came from a seed. And that seed came from an orange. That came from a seed that came from a tree. You could follow this back all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where God made the very first orange tree. See, and it's been that way down through the millennia. But the way God made things, the seed of the fruit is in the seed. Now, that's going to be very important here in a little while before we get to the end of this lesson. Remember that the fruit, the seed is in the fruit. All right. We'll bring that back in near the a little later in the lesson. I just wanted you to see that. Now, we're supposed to bear much fruit. The kind of fruit he's really talking about there is not just love, joy, peace, etc. Of course, we're supposed to mature in those things. But see, when Jesus taught Mark chapter 4, and we've all heard so many lessons out of Mark 4, the sower soweth the word, and Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown, persecutions and affliction. There's different kinds of ground. Of course, we're the ground. But, Satan comes to steal it. Well, how does he come to steal it? Well, first, if you just don't understand it, of course, if you don't understand the word, then that's one thing. But that's not the only way that he comes to steal. It's persecutions and afflictions, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things. And I don't even think that's exhaustive. See, if you look up cares, Pastor Bronk did us a great service here recently when he was actually teaching out of 1 Peter chapter 5, where we're supposed to cast the cares of this world, cast the cares, all of our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. And he pointed out that the definition of that word care carries the meaning of because of distraction. In other words, the care, what's the purpose of the care? It's to distract you from something. And immediately when I heard that, I thought, I wonder if that's the same word in Mark chapter 4 where it says the cares of this world. So I went and looked, and of course it is. It's exactly the same Greek word, and it's a care caused by distraction. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's what Jesus is talking about. See, because the subject, even though he's talking about the sower sows the word, at the end of it, the real target is not the word. The target is the fruit. Because he says right at the end of it, he says, now these are those that fell on good ground. And they produce fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. What, you know, in other words, it produced a little, it produced some more, or it produced its full potential. Well, if you follow that story on through, see, I used to just think it ended there, or surely by the end of Mark chapter 4, but really, this story does not end until Mark chapter 5, about verse 20, I believe. Because that's where you find the fruit. See, later in, Jesus taught them, and then he explained it in detail to his disciples about the sower sows the word. He said, you got to understand how this works. If you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of them? You got to know how this works. This is how the kingdom works. And so I don't forget it. Right in the middle here, before he gets into the illustration, he talks about maturity. See, fruit, I don't care what kind of tree. You can take an apple tree, a pear tree, a peach tree, any kind of fruit tree. It can be a perfectly good tree, but that tree is not going to bear fruit until it's mature. And I've taught this many times. I'll just quickly touch on it again. My dad loved planting fruit trees. I remember he planted a little sapling, not from a seed, but he got a sapling, planted it in the ground, a little tree not much taller than me. It was a peach tree. Well, of course, that first season, you know, I don't even remember if it was first or second season, but the thing was really young. It certainly was not a mature tree, but it did try to produce fruit. Little bitty peaches, never got any bigger than, you know, like this, about the size of a big marble. And I could tell the season's over. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're starting to fall on the ground. I was just a youngster, probably a teenager. And I thought, I want to see what those taste like. Here, a tiny little peach about as big as a big marble. Man, I washed it, put that thing in my mouth. Hey, that was the most bitter thing peaches are supposed to be juicy and sweet and delicious. This thing was bitter and tough. Your first thought is, that can't be a peach tree. Yeah, it's a peach tree. It's a perfectly good peach tree. Well, why is it so little fruit and why is it not good? Well, because it's not mature. And that's why Jesus, right after he teaches, the sower sows the word, he gives those two parables. And both of them have to do with maturity. And I'm going to go ahead and say it so I don't forget to say it. The purpose of the distractions is to keep the tree, let me say the word, from coming to maturity. Keep you busy your whole life. You're always too busy to pray. You're always too busy to worship. You're always too busy to get into the word. It's to distract you. It's cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, even persecutions, afflictions. All of them are designed on purpose to distract you from seeking first the kingdom of God. Let me say it another way. From allowing those seed. Did you know Christ is called the seed? Just read the book of Galatians. Christ is the seed. The promise was made to Abraham and to his seed. Christ is the very seed of life that God sowed into you when you got born again. That's Christ is sown into you. We all began with the sower sows the word. Well, we all had to sow the word to even learn how God thinks. Is God a healer? I wasn't raised to believe God, you know. In other words, the church I grew up in, they believed God could heal. They just didn't know if he wanted to. Because every time they prayed for the sick, it was always, well, if it be thy will. In other words, they didn't know if it was his will. Oh, thank God. Many years ago, he had me study on purpose through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I did an intensive study to find out, did Jesus ever deny anybody healing that asked for it? Now, he didn't heal every single person in every city, single village just by walking through the town. He didn't do that. But you studied that for yourself. I've already done it. I already know what it says. Not once did he ever turn anybody away that came for healing. He never once said, no, it's not the Father's will to heal you. The only thing even close to that was the leper. The leper said, I know you can heal me if you want, if it's your will. Immediately, Jesus, he did something illegal. He touched him. You're against the law, but he touched him. And he said, I will. Whew. Man. Oh, he will. Because we all had to sow the word. I remember walking the floor just in the early days, quoting verses, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. He forgives all thine iniquities. He heals all of your diseases. I had to sow the word into me just to even know the truth. And same thing with prosperity. I had to walk the floor hours at a time in the early days because I was raised to believe if you really had God, you had to be poor. You know, it's just how I was taught. But he had me put verses and just say, I'm sowing the word. The young lion, Psalms 34:10, the young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Boy, there's a verse. There's a verse for you. If anything, we call the lion the king of the jungle. If God ever designed any creature to be able to feed itself, it's the lion. Yet through circumstances beyond the lion's control, maybe a drought, maybe a fire that burned everything. Through circumstances, a lion might go hungry, but the promise is, boy, I had to say that. I had to sow the word till it became bone of my bone. Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Whew. I remember sowing the word, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty, not my giving, through his poverty might be rich. I could go on and on. Why? Because I sowed the word to change my thinking. One time God says, the thing that must change is the thinking that is not of me. We've got to think like him. That's Romans 12:2, that we be no longer conformed to this world, but that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we all went through the stage in the early days of sowing the word, reading it, quoting it, saying it, listening to it, to change how we think. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You've got to know what God's word says. God's word is the truth. Not the circumstances. God's word is the truth. So we all went through that stage, and I thank God for it. And it's true, and it still works today. But see, he's bringing us into revival, and you're a revivalist. If you're listening to these messages, if you're hooked up with this vision, you are a revivalist. God has called you really, we should not be discouraged by the news. I don't like the news a lot that's going on right now in America and really around the world. But right on the other hand, did you think about it like this? You were born for such a time as this. What a time to be alive. To not be defeated by everything that's going on around us, but rather to get strong and rise up and find out your calling and step into the anointing of God and demonstrate the power of God to a fallen and lost generation. Glory to God. What a time to be alive. Whew. I feel like, I was born for such a time as this. I like it. All right, getting back to fruit. See, the purpose, really, of the persecutions, the afflictions, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, all of that is to distract you from the maturing process so that you never become a fully mature tree that bears fruit. Gary, what do you mean by bearing fruit? Well, later in the chapter, Jesus sows the word to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. The sower sows the word. They have their marching orders for the next thing to do. They know what needs to be done. So they get in the boat and they have Jesus in the boat. It's such a perfect picture. We had this treasure in earthen vessels. Well, how do you illustrate that? The Holy Spirit is doing the best that he can before the resurrection, before the new birth is possible. they have Jesus in a wooden vessel. It's a good approximation. They've got this treasure, Christ, in a wooden vessel that's perishable. It can be sunk. It can be broken. It's very much like our bodies. They have this treasure in a wooden vessel. The sower has sown the word. Let us cross over to the other side. Well, just like Jesus said, Satan comes immediately. How did he come? He came with a great storm. A great storm to stop him from getting to the other side. And it worked perfectly. It distracted them from their mission. Notice when they woke Jesus up, they did not say, "We're having a lot of trouble getting to the other side." That's not what they said. No. This storm that come has totally distracted them from that. Now they're just worried about living. We're just trying to survive now. Boy, how many times has the enemy come through? Sue and I could give you time and testimony again and again. This is it. The enemy's trying to get us to think this is the end. The ministry's over, or life is over. You know, we've been through cancer together. We've been through heart problems together. We've been through poverty thing. I mean, financial attacks together. We've been through rebellious children. On and on and on. All of the things in Mark 4. Why? To distract us. There's things going on right now that just the timing just cannot be coincidence. So many things that I'm not even going to get into because they're just not worthy of mention. But they're all designed for one thing. To distract us from continuing to seek after this revival, from pressing into God so that we have an outpouring, a supernatural outpouring that will demonstrate to the world that Christ is risen and our God is the only God. And that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and you better choose Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. But see, the world, they're tired of our words. Jesus said in John 14, he says, "Now believe me, or just believe me for the work's sake." In other words, if you don't want to take my word for it, well, believe me by seeing the demonstration of the works. But see, the church has lost that power. We're supposed to be able to do that same thing. World, don't just take our word for it. Watch this. And then we're supposed to open the eyes of the blind, cause the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, on occasion, when it's needful, raise the dead. How about the maimed being made whole? I believe that would change a few minds, you know. Somebody comes in missing an arm or a leg, maybe through a birth defect or maybe through an accident, doesn't matter. And during the service, and I want to see the CBS, ABC, NBC, and the Fox News Network with their cameras trained on it, trying to disprove us. And the whole world watches while the leg grows where there was no leg. Glory to God. See, that's what we're called to. God says you over and over. Just recently, he reminded us again, go back to the blueprint prophecies. I hope you know what those are. I hope you know what those are. If you don't, go to bronkflint.org. It's right below the first picture on the homepage. The blueprint prophecies are there, and it's 10 prophecies. Then there's a bunch of subsequent prophecies. And the Lord recently said, go back and hear those again. In other words, he hadn't changed his mind. Well, he wants a supernatural outpouring, and he told us plainly our part. He told us our go to the other side instructions, what to do. Spend time in worship, spend time in fasting, spend time in the word, and spend a lot of time in prayer. Come away with me is the message of the blueprint. Come away with me, my beloved. Spend time. See, you know who you become like, who you hang around the most? God wants us to hang around him so we become like him. You know what that would be called? Maturity. Oh my goodness. Maturity. So we all began, getting back to Mark 4, we all began with sowing the word into ourselves. But now, Jesus has sown the word to his disciples. Let us cross over to the other side. Well, a great storm arose, and I'm not going to focus on that today. They woke Jesus up. Jesus stopped the storm, and they get to the other side. Well, for the disciples, they've done what they were told. But see, the purpose was not just to get to the other side to go sightseeing or something. God always has a reason for everything he does. The purpose was fruit. What do they find when they get to the other side? The madman of Gadara. And to me, he's a type of all of us. See, this man was beyond all human help. He was, when you got 2,000 devils, you're beyond the 12-step program. Your counseling is not going to help this guy. Jesus himself didn't even try and counsel this guy. He didn't talk to him at all. It says immediately he began commanding the devils to come out of him. He knew. See, and that's such a type of all of us. Listen, we couldn't save ourselves. A 12-step program couldn't save us. Us trying to clean up our act couldn't have saved us. We had to have the supernatural intervention of the living Christ. Glory to God. And just like the madman of Gadara, he had to come and save us. We couldn't save ourselves. Glory to God. Boy, I feel that all over me right now. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your great love that you loved us while we were even sinners. You still loved us, Lord. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord. See, that's the fruit. That's the fruit. When Jesus sowed the word to the 12 disciples, it wasn't just to see if, the end result was not getting to the other side. That was not the purpose. The purpose was the fruit. Let me say it another way. He left the safety of the 99 to go after this one that was really lost. Boy, but we were all really lost. The good shepherd has gone to seek and to save that which is lost. In this case, it's the madman of Gadara. Man. See, why is he giving us the instructions in the blueprint? That is our go to the other side instructions. And we've had all kinds of distractions trying to keep us away from that. I could just start going through a list. But see, this is 2022, and if you're watching this in 2032, it'll be different things, but it'll be the same tactics. It'll be persecutions or afflictions. It'll be cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, or the lust of other things. Brock brought out a good point. This is the second and last time I'll probably ever give you credit, Brock. He said, the distractions in Luke 14, none of those were sinful. What do you mean the distractions? Well, the rich man, which is a type of our father, had prepared a great feast for the lame and the blind and the halt and the sick. See, Jesus has paid the price so that the Father's table is fully provided with everything the human race ever needs. That's called the kingdom of God is available. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's available. It's within your reach. But see, we've got to learn how to serve off of the Father's table the same way Jesus did. Jesus said, it's not me doing the works, it's the Father. Jesus was serving off of the Father's table. He would even ask them like a fine waiter at a fancy restaurant, a blind man come up and Jesus said, what would you have me do for you? In other words, what could I serve you off the Father's table? Can I paraphrase? I mean, the man's blind. But still Jesus asked, in other words, all that the Father has is available. What would you like from the Father's table today, sir? Well, I want sight. Sight is available. And through Jesus, the Father was able to manifest sight in the blind man. We've been called to serve off the Father's table. But see, in Luke 14, they were called to do the same. And they all began to make excuse, and none of it was sin. One of the first guy says, well, I bought a piece of ground, some land. I need to go check out my land, Well, that's not sinful. But you know what he's really saying? I'm too busy. I'm too busy to come learn how to serve off the Father's table. Thank you for the invitation. But my life is too busy. I don't have time. Second one bought a yoke of oxen. I guess to a farmer that makes sense. Today, most of us would say, I bought some new equipment. I bought some new software. I bought whatever, a new car. I bought a new John Deere tractor. I don't know, whatever it might be, mower. And I need to go prove it. make sure it works right. I'd like to come. I thank you for the invitation. But see, I'm just too busy. So I'm feeling somewhat guilty myself. You know, boy, it's easy. All of those things, I'm going to say them again, persecutions, afflictions, cares of this world. But see, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. It's not wrong to buy land. It's not wrong to buy equipment. Unless it makes you too busy. I'd like to do the blueprint prophecy. I'd like to spend time in prayer and worship. I'd like to, I know I should probably read my Bible more than just going to church. But you see, Lord, I'm just too busy. God help us all. God help us all. God forgive us. Of course, the third one. I have to laugh every time I think of that guy. Because he said, well, I married a wife. Obviously, I can't. He's blaming his wife. I always think, that didn't work for Adam. It's this woman you gave me. Didn't work for Adam. It's not going to work for us. There are no excuses. You know what God said about them? He says, not one of them is going to taste of my supper. If you think you're just going to be go through life without devotion, time spent with the Lord and his anointing to serve off of his table just going to fall on you, you got another thing coming. He says, not one of those are going to taste of my supper. No, that's reserved for the disciples. In a very recent prophecy, he said, I'm not asking you for more of your life. I'm asking for all of your life. Isn't that exactly what Jesus gave him? And if we're going to be his disciples, that's what we're going to give him too. Well, I'm still coming to the fruit and the seed being in the fruit. I only saw this recently. See, after Jesus delivered the madman of Gadara, who was famous in that region, everybody knew who that was. You read about it. They had tried to bind him with chains. They had tried to bind him with fetters. I had to look up fetters. I don't know what that was. It's ankle chains. And he'd just break them. Chains, not ropes. Chains. And he would just break them. And it was dangerous. He'd cut himself with stones, run naked, howling all through the night. This guy was famous. And here, one encounter with the living Christ. Just like when you got saved. One encounter with the living Christ. And he sat there clothed and in his right mind. And he wanted to go with Jesus, wouldn't you? Boy, when Jesus got ready to leave that region, he wanted to go with him. Well, I would have too. I want to leave all of this. You know what, Jesus, I just recently saw this. When Jesus said, no, I need you, I want you to go through all this region. And that was Decapolis, which is 10 cities. Decapolis means 10 cities. It was a region where there were 10 of them. Jesus says, no, I want you to go all through this region. And I want you to tell what great things the Lord has done for you. And it just recently dawned on me. Jesus was sowing the word again. This time through a man. Now remember in Genesis, the way God designed everything, every fruit produces after its own kind. Now notice, and the seed is in the fruit. Well, in this case, the fruit is the now delivered madman of Gadara. Everybody in that whole region knows who he is. All of a sudden, though, this man shows up. This man that you are, he's famous. He shows up in his right mind, and everybody goes, how? Aren't you the, you're the guy. What happened? And this man begins telling them all he's doing. Jesus didn't call him an evangelist. He didn't really tell him to exactly go preach the gospel exactly. What he said was tell your testimony. Just tell what great things the Lord has done for you. I was lost and I'm found. I was possessed by 2,000 devils. Jesus set me free. My mind, I couldn't think a thought. I couldn't think a rational thought. And now he's restored my mind. My soul has been delivered unto me. Jesus is the Lord. I can just see this guy. See, he is the fruit now, and the seed is in him. Somebody said one time, says, you can count the number of seeds that are in an apple, but you cannot count the number of apples that are in a seed. I literally watched that come to pass in my lifetime. Like I said, my father loved to plant fruit trees. And I remember he had, on one side of the house, he had some apple trees and some pear trees. And I watched them grow from nothing, you know, just a seed. I'm telling you, those apples, they would produce, those trees would produce so many apples every year that he would have to, some years he'd have to take 2x6s, boards, and prop the limbs up because they were so weighted down with fruit that it'd break the limbs off. And get this, he didn't have to re-sow those trees every year. Once the trees came to maturity, they produced fruit every due season for roughly 40 years. That's about how long he lived there. 40 years. Every season, each tree. I know that each tree produced well over 100 apples, maybe several hundred. I mean, I wish you could see the picture in my mind as I remember what they looked like. For 40 years? Why? Because the seed is in the fruit. Now, see, this man is the fruit, this man who's been delivered, this man who's been set in his right mind. But on the inside of him now, the seed. What do you mean the seed? His testimony. All he has to do is tell what Jesus has done for him. And he's famous as he goes through all of these 10 cities over the next years, telling. They go, aren't you the madman? Aren't you the crazy one? Yes, but let me tell you about Jesus. What's he doing? He's preparing the ground. He's preparing them for the day when Jesus will come back. And a great harvest. See, I could say it this way. How many lives are inside of that man that will be born again? Maybe not everybody will receive the seed that he tells. I remember my dad had a friend. Now, I was a teenager when this happened. Believe it or not, I was a teenager once. And this fella, to me, was ancient at the time. He was probably 60. I mean, you know, young to me now. His name was Ansel Hull. I'll never forget him. And man, I'd be out there sweating and working, doing concrete work. And I was not living as a Christian at the time. Anyway. And Ansel would just come by and he wouldn't tell me the gospel. He wouldn't even really talk about Christ and him crucified. But he'd just see me, hey, Gary, he'd slap me on the back or something, you know, and say, he'd say something like, now remember, the best thing in life is serving Jesus. And he'd just walk on by. And the thing of it is, it was so real when he said it. He wasn't being religious. He couldn't hardly contain himself. And I could see it was so real in him. And all I could relate to was those boring messages sitting on those wooden pews all those years. There were just, oh God, will this ever be over? And I can go play with my toys, you know. I had no idea what he was talking about. But he had found the joy of serving the living Christ. And it was so weird. He was just telling his testimony. One day, I don't remember how many different things he said to me. I remember the two of them for sure. Another time he come by and, hey, Gary, how you doing? He said, I went to church for 40 years. Thought I was a Christian. Finally got saved. He just walk on by. And I think, what? Now those words, I could not, every now and then, they would just come back up in my mind. I wouldn't see Ansel. I didn't see Ansel for many years, really. And he went on to heaven before I got saved. But those, see, he sowed his testimony into me, just like the madman of Gadara was sowing his testimony. Well, just go tell what great things the Lord has done for you. That's all Jesus asked the man to do. Just go tell what happened. Well, we can all do that. You don't have to be an evangelist. Ansel Hall, I don't think, was an evangelist. I don't think that was his calling. But he's a witness. And all he's doing is telling what great things the Lord has done for him. And the thing of it is, it was so real. It was living. It was a living thing to him. And it was infectious. But I didn't know what he meant. But I couldn't get away from it. And it just kept, what does Ansel mean by that? Over the years, I would just think about it again and again. Well, finally, you know, my story, I wound up really coming back to the Lord at age 33. And I knew then what Ansel was talking about. And I remember praying this. I said, Lord, I know I can't talk to the dead. I can't talk to Ansel, but you can. I know Ansel's up there with you some. Would you let Ansel know that his seed sowing brought more fruit? His seed, his faithfulness, just to share the joy of Christ in him, just those few little words. Would you let him know that that was part of me becoming saved? I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't get away from it. See, how many people are in heaven today because that delivered man from Gadara obeyed the Lord and just shared his simple testimony? Just go tell what great things the Lord has done for you. Now see, that's the kind of fruit we can all do. You don't have to have, I thank God we're pressing into great anointings by the Holy Spirit. But listen, we can start bearing fruit right now. Remember we started this off. It is the Father's will that we bear much fruit. Well, one way we can start is like the madman of Gadara. See, nobody has your testimony but you. Nobody has my testimony but me. Here recently, I've been going through some things with my heart, and they'd ask me questions about this and about that. And they said, well, have you ever had any heart problems before? And I said, well, yes. I had I was diagnosed with supraventricular tachycardia in 1995. And that's the reason I had to stop driving trucks, because when you have that, you can just black out from it. You know, it's not good to be blacking out when you're driving an 80,000 pound rig down the road. You know, it's the main reason I had to quit driving the trucks is because they said it was incurable. So once you have this, you'll have it the rest of your life. Well, again, you just can't be driving 80,000 pound rigs with the threat of blacking out. So most of you have heard the story, and I don't want to belabor the testimony, but let me give you a little bit of my testimony. See, because they would ask, when I'd tell them that I had supraventricular tachycardia, they would look at my chart and they'd go, we don't understand because you don't have it now. Now here's my opportunity. And I would just flat tell them, I'd say, well, listen, my pastor, Dave Roberson, prayed for me that I would be healed, and it took a little while to manifest, but I received my healing in May of 1998, and I've never had to take that medicine since. I've been healed ever since. Jesus healed me. That's my testimony. I can tell that. I don't have to be, a great orator of the Word of God, you know, get my the he's and these and thous and all of that lined up and everything. No, I can just tell them, nope, got prayed for by my pastor. Took a little while to manifest, but I had to confess the word a little while, but it manifested in May of 1998. I got healed, and I haven't had supraventricular tachycardia since, and I don't have it now, and I never will have it again. Well, praise God forever. That's my testimony. And they may be thinking, you're crazy, man. I don't care. I kind of thought Ansel Hall was crazy there for a while. Not really. I just thought, he knows something I don't know. But he sure did. I hope you guys are having a good time. Don't let the circumstances beat you down. Come on. Come on. My mother's 101. We had to put her in the hospital here recently. She had some swelling in the legs. It's gone down. She's doing much better now. But it was fun to watch her in the hospital. My mother's favorite verse is, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I think that's part of why she is 101, working on 102. It was so fun to watch her in the hospital. It wouldn't take any time. The nurses and the different ones would be coming in here. She'd have them all laughing. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I know we're going through stuff. I know the prayer center is going through stuff. I know you personally are going through stuff. Sue and I are going through stuff. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise Him and worship Him and honor Him. And when emotions try and drag all of us down, don't let them. Jesus says, don't let your heart be fearful. Neither let it be afraid. It's up to you. You don't have to let it be afraid. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be depressed. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now we're back to the blueprint prophecies. Come away with me, my beloved. Do you think God's depressed? Do you think He's fearful and sad? No. You get in His presence. You do exactly what He's asking us to do. Over and over, He's saying, come away with me. Be in my presence. Well, if you're going to hang around Him, you're going to become like Him. And you're not going to come away from there sad and depressed and down and fearful and, oh my God, God's not up there wringing His hands. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It's almost funny. And I have to fight it myself. Don't get me wrong. Boy, if you don't focus on the news, I'm telling you. Focus on the good news. God's word is full of life and joy. All right, getting back to our fruit. We want to talk about, see, right, you're the fruit. If you'll allow me, you were the madman of Gadara. You were beyond all human help. You were beyond all self-help. You were beyond any 12-step program to save you. You had to have an encounter with Christ. Now, thank God, you're fruit. And there's no telling how many seeds are on the inside of you. What I mean is, how many lives will wind up in heaven? What if you become an Ansel Ho? What if you become a delivered madman of Gadara? And all Jesus really is saying to you, will you just tell people what I've done for you? I can tell them story after story how He delivered me from alcoholism. I can tell I've been delivered from nicotine. I've been delivered from pornography. I've been delivered from the love of money. Now, that's a big one. And I'm not saying I don't love it some. But my life is not about money. And hasn't been for a long, long, long time, boy. That's a good one. We can all tell our testimony is the point. And you can just start sowing those seeds everywhere you go. Sue is really good at that. She's really good at sowing the seeds and blessing people and just encouraging people and loving on people. She does really a better job of that than I do. But I'm getting better at it. Just go tell what great things the Lord has done for you. What has He done for you? Tell people every opportunity. And listen, if you'll ask Him to open doors, He'll open doors of opportunity for you. Don't be afraid. You can tell what He did for you. It's your testimony. You can tell what He did for you. That belongs to you. That's your testimony. Just go tell what great things the Lord has done for you. Nobody can count the number of apples that are in a seed. One seed planted, one of those apple trees. Let me say it this way. A tree grew from a single seed that my dad planted. How many apples did that tree produce for the next 40 years? Say it another way. How many apples were in that single seed that my dad planted? Nobody can count them. Nobody. There's no telling how many people might be in heaven because you're willing to just tell your testimony. You don't have to be a great orator. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to, and I'm not against any of that. That's fine, but listen, you can tell what things the Lord has done for you. You can tell your testimony. You can spend time with Him so that the joy of the Lord bubbles up in you like it did with Ansel. There was no denying the reality that was in him. It was just, it's who he was. He was overflowing. It's like, you know, my cup overfloweth, like the 23rd Psalm. You spend time with him, your cup will overflow too. Well, listen, I feel it's time to go ahead and end the lesson now. I know we're ending a little early, but he's been training me here lately. Listen, when we're done, we're done. The message today is this. He's calling us to bear much fruit. Begin by just going and telling what great things the Lord has done for you. Every opportunity you get, just tell your testimony. Just tell your testimony. Become an Ansel Hall to this generation. They won't be able to get away from it. They may act like they ignore it, but they won't really. They can't really. And it'll bear much fruit. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now.